Didn't you enjoy the service this morning? God just meets us Sunday after Sunday. I missed church so bad last Sunday, but I just didn't want to come and spread something I might have. But I'm glad you're here tonight. And let's continue to pray, and let's just believe God that God will send a move in this church that is needed. Now, I'm not going to fuss at you tonight. I'm just going to give you what God gave me about 2 months ago. I was praying and studying, just reading, and God began to deal with me about something. I preached around it for years, but I've never taken it as a text. So, what I want to talk to you tonight about is just simply unbelief. Now, you have to think about this for just a little bit, because first thing you say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe God. I serve God. I pay my tithes. I go to church. But you know, unbelief goes deeper than that. And I began to look through the Word of God, and I could not hardly believe what I found. And I won't have time enough tonight to even touch it. I'm not going to give a Doyle to you. Oh, I love this man. Almost. he just got so close to us. And we appreciate these precious men. God has just blessed this church with these people. But that's right. Give him a hand. Bless your heart. You know, it's just something how God lets you just feel and you just become that closest. I have one brother, and I have never in all our years never got as close to my brother as I have these two. And that's the truth. But that's Christian living. We're brothers and sisters together in the faith. That's why it's so glorious to come to church and enjoy. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not enjoying, we'll stop right now and we'll have a session of prayer with you, and you can go back and sit down and you can enjoy. Because that's the kind of a God we serve. You say, Pastor, you just don't know the burden of that bear. God said that He is the burden bearer. Amen. Hallelujah. But we want to talk about just simply unbelief. Now, I don't know how far we'll get. I'll not hold you till after midnight. Got lots of time. But it's a thing that you have to think about. Really, you do. In Mark 16 and 14, for a verse, it says, "Afterward he peered unto the leaven as they sat at meat, upbraiding them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." We've read this verse a lot of times. I have. A lot of times. And God said, just look at this thing. Now, I'm not going to use it right now. I may get back to it. But there's two other verses that I want to share with this, in this chapter, that I want to share with this. The first one is in the 11th verse. "And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her." Now, your King James, the last two words of this verse is "believed not." Amen. That's unbelief. All right, now, let's look at verse 13. Now, you can read the kindred verses to these when you get home. Probably some of you have already read them. But Read them when you get home, or tomorrow. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Neither. Amen. Unbelief. It's probably one of the greatest tools that Satan is using today in Christendom. You say if we have unbelief, that means we're not a Christian? No, I don't believe that. But it'll hinder us in our Christian walk. I like to think that it, and I've been thinking a lot about this in the last few weeks. I believe it robs us as children of the Most High God of some great truths that we could enjoy every day in God because we just don't believe. Well, I see some of your feathers getting kind of ruffled, but that's all right. You look at me and say, well, I believe. Well, not all the time. All right. I want to draw your attention to two individuals, two happenings, two situations in the book of Daniel just to begin with. In the third chapter, beautiful story, they had been taken captive, these Hebrew men, young men. They were in a foreign land, under an ungodly reign, a rule, heathenism. God wasn't a part of anything. But we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand stalwart in the face of a declaration. Now, I'm not going to preach about them tonight. Maybe next time. They stood firm in what they believed. I don't know whether I could do that or not. Well, if we see the light of God in eternity as He is, we'll stand firm. I believe that. I believe we're living in the very dawn of eternity. You may not believe that today, but things are happening so fast, every day. I can't see anything else but the rapture, the next great event in this world. Oh, you say they're going to have a war. I don't know whether they're going to have a war or not. They stand there and look at one another. And I'm not fussing. Don't get me wrong. Take that statement. But they're just there looking at one another. I'm not interested. I went through one. I don't want any more. But I believe the next great event in this world is the rapture of the church. Amen. And I believe this. We're going to make the rapture, not just talking about it, but because we're ready for the rapture. Amen. Now these three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was told if they didn't bow down to the golden image, they'd be put to death. You said they're going to be thrown in the fire furnace. Well, isn't that death? Pretty hot. But I like what they told the king. O king, hear us. We're not to bow down to your image. And we won't. You can throw us in the fire furnace. And whether our God delivers us or not. That's quite a statement. We won't do it. You know the outcome. They had several hundred years on the rest of the people seeing Jesus. What a wonderful truth. Now, the next one is, you look at Daniel, chapter 6. Darius loved that man. He wouldn't have done this for anything in the world. You can read it. He loved Daniel. But there's always someone around ready to do something to you. Because for your stand you take for God, they just don't like you. You know why? If you're really standing for God, you're bringing conviction on them. If you're not having any trouble tonight, you need to check up. You know that? If everybody's your friend and just really loves you, you better kind of check up. I'm talking about the world. I'm not talking about us. We're just full of love. Better be. But they got a decree. Slipped it in. You see, Satan is so cunning. And the decree was that anyone caught worshiping or bowing a knee to anybody else but that king, we'd be thrown in the lion's den. Well, lions eat you when they're hungry. All right? They're not a big bunch of tatty cats. So, they found Daniel praying. He knew it. He wasn't blind to the thing, but he believed God. In the spite of everything really that was coming against him, he stood his ground. He had a good night's sleep in the lion's den. That's all you can say about it. All right? All right. Unbelief. You have any trouble with it? I kind of get amused at these little advertisements or commercials on TV about cats and their food. You know what I mean? The master, the little kid, or the one that has the cat box is bad. They look at that old cat, and that old cat's going like this. It's no good. We're not careful. We'll go around. We're always going like this. Let's be honest with our hearts sometimes. And it'll stop some of this stuff within our hearts. Amen. You are the guardian of your life. Did you know that? That wife or husband really isn't. You might blame him for it, but it isn't going to stand in the quarters of heaven. We're our own individual before God. And we're going to give an answer to God individually. Every one of us here tonight, sometime, someplace, somewhere in eternity, is going to stand before God. And we're going to stand all alone. All alone. My Bible says the books is going to be opened. That's one time you want to see a great big white page. Amen. But unbelief. You know, one reason I have a great respect for the Word of God is because, first of all, it's truth. It never lies to you. Anyone that lies to me will steal from me. Anyone that lies to you will steal from you. They go hand in hand. That's right. One way or the other, they're going to steal from you. It may not be just materially, but it'll be one way or the other. But that's something about the Word of God. It is truth. And second, it tells it just like it is. If a man is wrong, it says he was wrong, or a woman. If he was right, it says he was right. And that's the reason a lot of people today is not reading the Word of God. Did you know that? Because the Word will tell us whether we're right or wrong. And it doesn't make any qualms about it. That's one of the great workings of the Holy Spirit, is that convicting force that He brings in our lives. I appreciate that. You say, why? Well, I stumble every once in a while. If you'll admit it, you do too. And I'm glad that He's a watchdog after my life. And when I do, bam, He's right there. And that's the time to get rid of it immediately. I don't care what you're thinking, what you're doing, who you're talking about in yourself, whether you're thinking something bad. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of it, that is the time to get on your face if you have to. If you have to go down the road talking to God, do it. But get rid of it. Amen. That's what the Word does if we'll read it. And there's the reason. A lot of good people today just don't read the Word. Because it'll straighten that unbelief out a lot of times. In the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, let's look at this little story. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Whew. Isn't that wonderful? God said it. Did you get that? God spoke to Abraham and told him a truth. Now listen to this 17th verse. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, let me stop right there a minute. We are so gullible. Oh, we are. Just Christians. We are so gullible. We think if we think something in our heart, nobody else knows about it, we're going to get by with it. That's stupid. I'm not being mean, just telling you a fact. That is really stupid to think that we can get by with it. We don't get by with anything from God. Try. We come to church, and we got all kinds of thoughts about people. And probably some of us have done it so much that we've got calloused over it, and God just don't even convict us of it anymore. That's dangerous. Amen. But God knows our thought life. And probably we get in trouble more in our thought life than anything else. There's not a one of you here. Well, that's a big... Most of you here wouldn't think about in the morning going across the street over here at the bank and robbing. Boy, that's right, Billy. They'd be in dire trouble. First of all, they'd be in trouble with God. Second trouble, they'd be in trouble with the police department. Most of you here wouldn't think about taking a drink of liquor to bar. Because you're total abstainers. You just don't believe in it. You don't have no trouble with that. Satan knows that. You think Satan's going to come up and say, "Say, Jerry, wouldn't you like to have a drink today? How about it, Jerry?" Well, Jerry would look at him and say, "Listen, Satan. And, oh, my, you talk about reading him the riot act. He'd do it." But he can come up to Jerry and say, Jerry, you know old sister so-and-so, have you noticed her attitude towards you lately? She just don't like you.
I noticed that.
See? You've been there. I remember years ago, first Assembly of God church I attended, my wife got me to going. I was one of these good Nazarenes. And boy, you wouldn't have got me in a Nazarene, I mean in an Assembly of God church for all the gold in Fort Knox before I married my wife. And I've often wondered how God worked it. My mom's prayer meeting place was the bathroom. My wife's prayer meeting place was one of the upstairs rooms. And for days, they was praying, don't you let him be a Pentecostal, them holy rollers. Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost. One Sunday morning, we was walking out the church, and a dear old sister come up to me, and she said, Brother Elliot, I want you to know back then when I was just a young fella, a dear old sister come up and looked me right square in the eyeballs and said, well, she said, I become at attention. She said, you have to be mad at me because you haven't shaken hands with me in a long time. I know my mouth flew up. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know it. Honestly, boy, I just stammered and stuttered. It'd be just like Anna coming up to one of these kids over here and just reading her eye act to them. I'm sorry, Anna. No, I couldn't say that about anybody else but Anna, but she's a friend. I know. But honestly, I wasn't guilty. I probably was and didn't know it. And I can't even remember her name now. It's been so many years ago. And I apologized all over the place. But, oh, she was serious and she was furious. Did you know after that, I don't care how far across the church she was, how back in the church or how front in the church or where she was at, I made a beeline to her and I got a hold of her hand and I said, Sister so-and-so, how are you this morning? Well, we're glad you're here. Mm-hmm, boy, it was fine. You see how Satan works? She come to church for several Sundays, I'm sure, and did not have the victory within her heart because that stupid Elliot kid just wasn't shaking hands with her. That's right. And you couldn't have made her believe that I wasn't mad at her. And you know, young people, and I'll save this book, this line here, but they got their friends and, you know, they know we live and exist, but that's about all. That's all right, kids. We understand. Now I can finish this. And said in his heart, shall a child be born in him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? How stupid a thought could that be? I'm 90 years old. I'm 100 and Sarah's 90. Who ever heard of such a thing? You can go back and see what God did for this man and where he brought him out, changed his name, done so much for him. You say, Abraham? Abraham. Unbelief.
right. It's so easy to creep in, because probably one of the greatest things that we have trouble with is we weigh it against whether it can happen, whether it's probable, whether it can't happen, what circumstance it is, and all about it. We weigh it and we weigh it and weigh it. God doesn't weigh anything. He just does it. Amen. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a kid. Because I say it. Sarah's going to bear a baby. I say it. Believe it. But we get to the place in living for God that we just don't believe there is a possibility in some... That's the way we pray for a lot of people. Let me tell you what happened last time we was in Kansas. We was in service. And I'm not going to give you the details because that's God's business. But some prayer, the sister Elliot and I have been praying. We've been praying for quite a while in a situation. And you get anxious. Don't you? How many get anxious when you pray you want it to happen yesterday? That's right. Billy raised his hand. He's right. That's right. There was a tongues, message in tongues interpretation. And God says, I am God. And what I have done, I will do. And you are not to worry. In my time, I will do it, and I will do it because I am God. I want you to know that'll set you back on your heels. That wasn't the whole thing of it, but it was the very essence of what God was talking to Sister Elliot and I about. You say, God just don't do that in this day. Oh, you're missing a lot if you don't believe that. I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that this church will be set afire with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that every one of you will get filled with the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues and begin to move and work in the Spirit of God. It's coming. I believe it. That's been my prayer for the last several weeks as we come and pray that God will begin to move in this church as He has never moved before. I believe it. Because He said He wanted to do it from the youngest to the eldest. Whew. Can you imagine what's going to happen in this valley when this church gets on fire for God, gets rid of all the schisms and isms and bisms and all the other things that happens in your life? You begin to believe God. Oh my, that makes them little doodads run up and down my back. I don't know about yours. Praise God. That's what we want. But Abraham laughed. Got down on his knees and he laughed. He said, it's a wonder God didn't strike him dead. Well, aren't you glad for a merciful God? How many times would He have struck us dead for some of the foolish antics that we have pulled in unbelief? Well, I hope your mind's racing a million miles an hour, so to speak, tonight. I hope God is bringing to your remembrance things that you have said and you have believed and thought in your heart that God cannot reach you because of unbelief. It's there. It gets there. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you are in the church. It'll happen if we don't watch our own lives and measure our lives before God. Amen. God says, I'm going to send you a son. You say, did God do it? Oh, yeah. But you can go ahead and read this wonderful story. If you haven't read it, lady, read it this week. It'll bless you. They got in a hurry. That's what the trouble is in the Near East tonight. That's what brought it all about. People get in a hurry with God. You say, well, why don't God get on the ball and get busy? Well, he's had eternity back when. There's no always. And he's got eternity this way. He don't have to get in any hurry. But have you always noticed that he's never late? It might come up to the very moment, so to speak, but he's never late. Amen. He's never late. Oh, he's never late. That's one thing about God you can, I started to say bank on it. Well, you can believe it, know it. When he says it, it's going to come to pass. Amen. Abraham. Mm-hmm. You say, what was it? It's just simply unbelief. Unbelief. All right. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, 21st verse. I want to read this verse, and then I want to read the kindred verses with it, 18 through 23. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, can you just see him standing there before God? I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Lord, do you know how many people's out there? Have you counted them lately? You know, we talk to God like that, as if God don't know anything. That's the truth. We talk to God a lot of times just like he don't know anything. If he wasn't a merciful, loving Father and loved us so much, he'd just slap us all over the place, so to speak. Amen. That's the way we talk to God. He stood there and I can almost see that scowl on his face. God, what are you talking about? Have you seen how many people's out there, Doyle? You think God can do anything with that whole bunch of people out there? Well, boy, I'll tell you, there's some of them that's, well, you know, I don't know whether you can do anything or not, God. No, we're just talking. That's the way Moses was talking to God. God told him he's going to send quail. There is anything any worse than a bunch of belly-aching Christians. Unless it's a bunch of belly-aching preachers. This man back here, you need to pray for him every day. Isn't that right? Bless your heart. We love you. We do. Our secretary and treasurer. Great man. He'd have to be. Unbelief, Moses. You say, how could you do that, Moses? You've seen what God did in Pharaoh's presence. You've seen all what God did. And yet you stood there and prayed to God. God, what are you talking about? Feeding this bunch of people all this meat for a whole month. What in the world? That's the way we believe God. And we think we get by with it. That's nothing but unbelief. Pastor will get in this pulpit and tell you to do something. How many of you, will you be honest with me? Come on now, let's just be honest. It's good for you. How many of you really believed a couple years ago that we would raise $10,000 for a new van, another van? Come on, let's be honest. Come on, hold your hands up. Get up there, Dave. You held your hand up. Come on. I mean, you really believed in your heart that God would do it. A few of you. You know what? Well, you look around and say, $10,000 in this bunch? That's the way you look. Sure. No problem for God. Because God spoke to our heart and said, we need a van. Not just because it was me. He might have spoke to Anna. He might have spoke to anyone else here. But I don't know. Just one day he spoke to my heart. I guess it's because we had so much trouble coming back from Phoenix, that other one. And it was just pretty past going then. And I made a statement to my wife. We sure need another van. And about just a few days later, God just spoke to my heart and says, why don't you get the prime timers to do it? The prime timers do it? Yeah. I don't know how God talks to you, but that's the way he talks to me. He said, get the prime timers, just present it to them. You know what? Man, they just did, man, enthusiastic about it. Wasn't you? Sure he was. And then some wonderful person this morning just finished her out. Ooh, ooh. That's God. Well, you say, people give it. Well, who do you think God uses? Who do you think God uses? Now, he's not going to speak to one of these old ungodly bankers down here and tell him to come down here to First Assembly and buy a van. Oh, he can do it. But you know what? He wants you to be blessed. One of the first things I had to learn in the ministry, Jerry probably did too, and Doyle's learning. Little old church in Kansas that had about 30 people, and some of them was about as poor as church mice. And here'd come one of them dear old ladies to the door and knock on the door and say, Pastor, here's $10 the Lord told me to bring you. And first of all, I said, now listen, sister, let me tell you. Stand up. Now listen, I appreciate this. Bless your heart. I know God loves you and I love you. But here, you just take this back. And she'd look at me. And I just argue with her. Some of them win, some of them wouldn't. And I got away. And finally, one day I was over to church praying. And God said, well, he didn't just in this term, but he meant, straighten up. What do you want, Lord? He said, I don't care who it is that wants you to have something, you take it. But Lord, those poor dear old widow women, they need it. They haven't got anything to live on now. He said, you let me take care of the widow women. Oh, big me, the pastor, boy, I wasn't going to be humbled by some dear little old widow woman giving me a $10 bill when she needed it. God seen my heart. And I want you to know I quit it. That's right. God says, you let me bless them. That's why I sent them to you, so I could bless them. Don't you dare give me a $10 bill unless you mean me to keep it. Amen. Yeah. God says, I'm going to send quail. They're going to eat it till they get sick. But that's all I've heard, and I'm getting tired of hearing it. They want some meat. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to be living on manna? Have you ever really thought about it? I have a lot. That was a perfect food. Perfect. Every vitamin, every nutrient you'd ever need. Every one of them was in that manna. Because it's God's food. They didn't need nothing else. Well, I'm going ahead. You know, God gives us something, and we want something bigger. I used to get tickled from North when I'd be talking, and he'd say, you know, you get a camper and you want a bigger one. You get a boat and you want a bigger one. Want. And I got to think about it. That's true. If we're not careful, first thing, God will bless us with something. And we get to looking around for something better. Not even appreciative of what God has done for us. Amen. Well, that's just a side. But it's true. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessings He gives us. Amen. God, have you numbered those people? Have you seen how many there is? Already. He'd forgot what God did in Egypt. Already he had forgot the Red Sea experience. I pray that I never forget those years back there of blessings. They wasn't as in the world's magnitude great. But all there was great in God. God gave us 6 kids. All of them healthy, robust kids. What a blessing. They might gripe at laws, which married his daughters, that meant his daughters too, and said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Mom and Dad, have you demonstrated a lot of unbelief before your kids? Amen. It's what happened here. Lot said, I'll take the well-watered plains down to towards Sodom. I like those lights down there. I don't like this old mountain country. I believe I'll take that, Abraham. If you don't mind, he had his choice. It says, they mocked him. What are you talking about, Dad? An angel is going to come and destroy this place. What are you talking about? Do you talk about the rapture in your household? Do your kids know really what the rapture is all about? I'm serious tonight, church. Does your kids really know what the rapture's all about tonight? Or in your conversations, you say, well, things is going along so good. I just don't believe the Lord's going to come for quite a while because, man, we're doing all right. The house is all paid for. The bills are being paid for. We got money in the bank. Hmm. That's what they said. Dad, what do you mean trying to tell us that this great city is going to be destroyed? Well, we never had it so good. We never had it so bad if we look at the world situation tonight. It isn't worth that much. Can you count to a trillion? I can't even count to a million. Now, I sure can't count to a billion. Our government is so far in debt, there's no way it's going to come out. And we so depended upon that old black stuff, oil. That's right. But our whole life is centered on the economy. It better be centered upon the economy of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. It's coming. I don't see anything in this world. There is no prophecy there. Oh, there is prophecy. No, there's no prophecy that can keep Jesus from splitting the skies of glory. He could have come in Paul's day. You know, I'm going to say something. You're going to disagree with me, but you can. Too many preachers have come down the pike and they preach on the second coming, but they're talking of, preach on the rapture, but they're all, most of them, talking about the second coming. We're not talking about the second coming. We're going to come back. Praise God. Thank you. We're going to come back in that. I hope you are. I pray that you are. Unbelief is going to keep us from going to rapture. Amen. My Bible says He's coming after people that have what? Made themselves ready. Years and years ago, we had a little old lady. She was 70 years young then. And I thought, man, she was old then. Man, she wasn't a bit old. Where's she, Anna? But she preached the message one night in the revival she held for us. She said, you got to be listening for the trumpet if you're going to go in the rapture. You know why she said that? Your heart has to be in tune so that you can hear. That you can hear the moving and the working of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But unbelief will crowd all this out. Oh, you say, Pastor, I look for the rapture, but it's down the road. Oh, no, it's not. Well, I've heard about it for years. Yeah, but you've never seen what happens almost daily now in your lifetime. It's winding up so fast. Jesus is coming after a people that is ready. 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 Unbelief. Those kids died in that terrible destruction that day because they didn't believe. I don't want to be here after the church has come. I can't believe, I can't even comprehend how terrible it's going to be, how terrible it is right now. We're so fortunate to live in Grand Junction. Amen. There's enough here. But in some of our major cities, you and I have no idea what is taking place. right. Because of sin. Sin. Now, I want to get back in closing to the verse of Scripture that I read in Mark. If you'd like to turn back there, if you will. Mark 16 and 14. Shouldn't have took my marker out. All right. Matthew 16:14. Now this is the disciples and Jesus we're reading about. This isn't a part of the world. This is individuals that had been with Jesus for 3 to 3.5 years. They had seen all the miracles. They'd seen Him raise the dead. They'd been there, Jerry, seen the water. I enjoyed that. Bless you. Turn to wine. Well, I got a sermon out of that. I get to preach it somewhere in Kansas one of these times back there. Hallelujah. They'd seen all the lepers healed. They was there when old blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside, begging. And all at once he heard a commotion. He says, "What's happening? What's happening? What's happening?" "Oh, it's Jesus is coming this way." "Jesus, I heard about Him. He's the one that heals blind eyes." "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped that whole procession. One old blind beggar that needed help. That's the kind of Jesus we serve tonight. That's the kind of life that they had been living daily, walking daily. Now listen to this. And oh, he said afterwards, this is after the resurrection. "Afterwards He appeared unto the living as they sat at meat. And upbraided them." In other words, He scolded them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. I'm not talking about a bunch of sinners. I'm talking about 11 men that lived at the very feet of Jesus for 3 years anyway. Seeing all that He did. Seeing that compassion. They'd heard Him teach them personally. Sat down with them personally and said, "I'm going to die." Oh, they wouldn't believe it. They had no conception. They had one thing in mind. Jesus was going to come back and set up the rule on David's throne. And they were going to be the moguls, the big shots in His new kingdom. And that was their whole thought. Why do you think Judas did what he did? He was just a little bit ahead of them in their thinking. He was the treasure. And all at once, His bubble burst. He seen it before any of the others did. That Jesus wasn't going to set up a kingdom. Because He carried the bag. He was a thief. Thief. God help us if we're thieves. Thieves. You don't have to go rob a bank to be a thief. Amen. Unbelief will make a thief out of you as far as your soul condition, your spiritual condition is concerned. It'll do it. It'll rob you of your blessings that you need with God. Unbelief will do that. I haven't even touched on it tonight. There's so much in this, and every time I get to reading about it, God will convict me again. Unbelief is a terrible thing. And he had to come back and sit, stand in her presence and say, why can't you believe me, the Son of God, what I have told you, what I am and who I am and what I'm going to do? Oh. Unbelief. That's right. The very men that should have been first in faith in the kingdom, they weren't. Peter stood in that court and cursed. Said, I never knew him. Because a little maid came and said, you are one of them. Your speech betrays you. Thank God that first of all his speech did betray him. I hope your speech betrays you, who you are before the world. You've got some of these little ignominious bywords clinging on to you. God help you. Well, that isn't bad. It is bad. You just will cuss and be over with it. That's right. Oh, I can say these words and get by with it. Because you've hardened your heart if you're guilty. If you can say those things and feel good in your spirit about it, you're wrong. You just don't believe the word, what God says. Oh, that's hard. Sure it's hard. But I want you to make heaven. It's too close. We're really just too close to turn around and go back. It's closer to heaven than it is back there. That's right. Unbelief. It's a tool of the devil today that's robbing the church blind. And we can't see it because we're falling into trap after trap after trap after trap. We just don't believe God means what he says. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a hell. And it wasn't prepared for any of you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you go, you go as an intruder. God never intended for you to go. But if you go, you go on your own merits. And it isn't God's fault. If you miss heaven, you can stand in hell for eternity and blame God. And you're still just as guilty as ever because God isn't to blame. He's done everything in his power. He gave his only begotten Son, the Prince of Glory. He gave his life, shed his life's blood for our sins. Hallelujah. But he did more than that, church. That's enough. But he said, I'm going back to the Father. And if I go back, I'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I have been with you, but he shall be in you. Ooh. Hallelujah. Is he there tonight? Is he manifesting himself tonight? If you haven't been coming to some of these prayer meetings in the morning, I've learned to just stop and listen. Listen to some of these praying. I'd like to hear J.D. pray in the morning. I'm not giving him any great big pat on the back. I'm just saying, keep it up, J.D. God's blessed you. God's going to answer those prayers. I believe with all my heart. Amen. Dave, he's going to do it. Others, he's going to do it. It takes faithfulness. It takes faithfulness. I've held you probably longer than I should. But church, unbelief is a thief. It's a tool of the devil. It'll rob you. want you to do something, man. I want you to stand before we go. Come on, stand up. I want you to just get in those aisles and just come down here and stand around. We're just all going to pray together. Come on, pastors. Come on. Come on, all of you. Come on down. It don't hurt you. It don't jump on you. Come on. Come on. Everyone. Nobody's going to ask you what's wrong. We're just going to pray. Come on, JD. Come on over here and help us. Praise God.